Back in October, City Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark moved to revive Baltimore's Dollar House program to revitalize blighted neighborhoods. On Wednesday of this week, Councilman Zeke Cohen and a group of housing advocates delivered a petition with 20,000 signatures calling for more affordable housing in the city. And then yesterday, the City Council had a hearing on tax increment financing, or TIFs, like the $660 million deal Sagamore Development made with the city to develop Port Covington. WYPR City Hall reporter Dominique Maria Benessi is on the line to connect the dots. Dominique, start us off by explaining the Dollar House program and TIFs, just to make sure we're all on the same page.
Right. So the Dollar House program is a product of the 1980s. The city sold abandoned homes for a dollar and helped finance the rehabilitation of those places through low-interest loans if homeowners agreed to stay in them for a certain amount of time. And TIFs are deals where the city floats bonds, in the case of Port Covington, $660 million worth of bonds, for infrastructure projects and then repays that through future taxes.
Now, why the push to revive the Dollar House program and increase the affordable housing stock?
So Councilwoman Clark says she's aiming the Dollar House program at least partly towards small Baltimore-based contractors to help them really get a piece of the pie. And Councilman Cohen says the push for affordable housing is at least partly related to education. And here's what he told advocates Wednesday.
If we're going to get serious about educating our kids, then we have to get serious about stable, affordable, safe housing in Baltimore.
He also said he wants the city to put $40 million in the budget for demolishing blight and constructing affordable housing development. So there's this push for new and different development than we've seen predominantly in, you know, the downtown areas of Baltimore that residents want to see spread out into the neighborhoods.
How does this all connect with TIFs and with other private development incentives? And why did the council hold this hearing?
So in order for Cohen and Clark to really put these initiatives forward and fund them, they want to understand how these private developers like Sagamore end up with such a large slice of the pie. At the opening of the hearing, Councilwoman Shannon Middleton said three objectives were to identify current and planned uses of development incentives, how incentives can be used more equitably in the future, and what are some of the options to improve transparency and accountability to Baltimore citizens in how incentives are awarded.
Did those three objectives that Councilwoman Middleton put forward get answered?
The answer is sort of. So representatives from the Baltimore Development Corporation and the Finance Department both spoke at length about the pros of various cities' incentives. Some of these incentives helped get rid of blight in centralized downtown areas like Harbor East and the Hippodrome. Other incentives, known as tax increment financing programs, or TIFs, as we just mentioned, have led to the controversial development of University of Maryland's Biopark and Port Covington. UM's Biopark specifically relocated or displaced many people in Mid-East Baltimore from their homes. And what the Department of Finance does with TIFs is they put them into this but-for test. In other words, a project would not exist but for the city's tax incentives. I met with Executive Director of Johns Hopkins 21st Century Cities Initiative, Ben Siegel, to understand more about tax incentives. And here he gives me an example of Port Covington's but-for test.
Port Covington, and so the kind of but-for test is when the site is built out, is it going to be of greater value than it would have been if it had not been for the $660 million in TIF financing?
So really, this but-for test then determines whether the city will give money to these developments, but also helps the city determine if the developments will help seek economic growth and increase jobs and other incentives.
Does Ben Siegel say what Baltimore could be doing better to promote small and large development?
Definitely. He says the city can look more towards other types of incentives besides tax-based ones. For example, the city could boast their human capital to create jobs and then meet the education and skill levels of the residents. And Siegel says,
one of the things that I think we need to do a better job of is once the tax incentives go into place, how are we evaluating the impact of these incentives going forward?
He goes on to say that while the state has already passed the Tax Credit Evaluation Act and is doing a good job on making sure incentives are being evaluated from their inception, Baltimore needs to be more concerned at keeping performance measures and benchmarks along the way as developments take off.
And then are there consequences if the tax incentives are not meeting their stated goals? Are there clawbacks? Is there a way for the city to de-risk, some of their kind of tax incentives and share them more with the entities that are receiving the tax incentives?
And finally, the big sticking point for all these programs is money. Tell us about that.
Right. As I reported last month, there's no federal money being put towards Dollar House program, and Councilwoman Clark is really struggling to find those funds. Also, Port Covington's debt to the city is approximately, as we know, $660 million. And yesterday, the finance department told city council the city would not be able to afford another TIF as large as Port Covington. With 11 current TIF projects, this total TIF debt to the city is approximately $773 million. So that being said, it's really a matter of where we're going to find the money for either larger TIF programs for community development or where we're going to find the money for these smaller development programs for small contractors based in Baltimore.
Dominique Maria Benessi is WYPR's City Hall reporter. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Nathan.